The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, I feel the need to let our listeners know, after getting picked on so much about my tulip bulbs, etc., I got them all planted. I planted 750
bulbs. My word.
Well, when are you going to have a garden open house next spring?
Well, if they come up, I will let you know.
They better.
Yeah.
We'll go kill the deer so they can come up. What colors? Oh,
that's so much work.
I actually got a collection of tulips that are called blueberries and cream. So they're like shades of blue
sounds
and
like
white.
Good. Sounds good.
Yeah,
delicious.
And then I planted a bunch more daffodils, and then I planted some supposed to be scented crocuses.
Oh, they are the first to come up. That's
yes.
Nice.
Because so we'll
that's
see.
We finally have something like the middle of April.
But anyway, I did get them all planted, so now we are going to pray that they all come up.
Mm-hmm.
You get a triple word score for croci, by the way.
Thank you.
Is that a real word?
I suppose it probably is Latin, right?
Yeah, it could be.
It could be.
Or no, man. What's that? What's that other word? Quijibo.
Quijibo.
Darn all these people! Take that, all you ATP.
So did you actually
people?
Plant them one bulb at a time?
I did.
Holy smokes!
700.
Yeah.
See, Dan, if that was you or I, we'd dig one big hole and pour them in. You know.
I do.
Does your house look like Holland, Michigan?
Does it look like Holland?
No,
it
doesn't.
I don't know. I'm hoping it will. There are bulbs left over from last year, too. So, I mean.
Yeah, don't they come back?
Oh, yeah. They're supposed to spread. But deer will not usually eat daffodils. They don't like daffodils.
Must be too acidic or something.
But I sprayed.
Daffodils smell so good.
Deer away.
They do. Professor Kendra Evans is here from Chemistry and Biochemistry.
That's correct.
Who will tell us about how the deer are kept away.
I was just going to ask what the
pheromone.
Chemical was. I was just thinking about the chemical.
It's probably urine.
It is coyote urine I use.
Right. Safer for our environment. That's good. Good work on that.
I wonder how they get
together,
safer for our health.
No, it's true.
Yeah, it's definitely true. Good work on that.
We use fox to keep the rabbits out of our yard. It doesn't
they
work, by the way. But
the, the coyote around with a bucket.
You probably can't do that on vegetables you're planning to eat, huh?
No.
Hopefully not.
Professor,
moving right along.
Dave Chow is with us here from the College for Creative Studies. I want to know how you're keeping everything out of your super-duper yard.
I'm not. I'm absolutely not. Everything's just invading my yard right about now. So.
Got it.
Next year, we're probably, hopefully, going to put up a fence.
Oh,
so we
okay.
can delineate who's who and what's what, and hopefully the trash from that certain restaurant at the end of my street doesn't blow into it.
Yikes.
Certain restaurants.
No names will be mentioned.
No names.
Why not?
No cars.
Thank you.
Nothing will be mentioned. How is your neighbor next to the yard? How is that working out? Is it all right?
Yeah, they're fine. Okay. They're fine with it. Mm-hmm. You know, they love the fact they don't have to cut as much grass.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It used to be there, you know, it used to be theirs. So.
Mm-hmm. Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Hello.
I see some red and some white and some blue in your shirt.
That what are you, patriotic? What are you, Captain America?
I was just going to say, I'm proud to say that I live in a condominium, so it's other people's responsibility to maintain the yard, and whatever invades it, which is fairly frequent, is just okay. Just happens.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
I can put things in pots if they need to be mm-hmm. protected.
Do you indeed?
Oh, yeah.
Pot plants?
Yeah.
Or... Oh, no,
sit them on the back patio.
You can grow almost anything in pots.
Yeah,
you pretty much can.
You can.
Probably not 700, though.
What I wish is that you could grow, like, Arborvita trees in a pot so you could line them across the back of the patio.
Then you can put lights on them at Christmas time.
Well, that would be wonderful if they would continue to grow. But unfortunately, they become pot-bound very quick.
Huh.
Quickly.
Arborvita.
Put them on the first floor and the deer will eat them.
They do? They eat Arborvita?
Not.
They eat them on an Ann Arbor.
Oh, wow.
They haven't been eating ours.
Oh, well. That burst my bubble.
Because they're starving.
Okay, it's off to you now.
All right.
You've blown my whole idea.
Professor Dan Maggio is here to ruin all of your planting ideas.
No, I was just encouraging.
I'll plant crabgrass instead.
I do it very well.
Seagrass.
Well, people forget how close deer are to us pretty much anywhere in the Detroit area. That much is
absolutely.
For sure.
I mean,
they end
in the
up
backyard.
In, like... You know, Clausen the other day.
Y'all have them in Berkeley,
downtown.
Though?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you seen deer in Berkeley?
I've never seen a deer in Berkeley, but people have told me they've seen deer in Berkeley.
Professor Kate Lanigan just told me that there was a deer in my own neighborhood just the other night.
In Livonia.
Yes.
There you go.
We have coyotes, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Boy, so how do you get rid of coyotes? Do you use deer urine?
You use flower urine.
We leave the coyotes
You go inside and let them walk by.
Yes, exactly.
We're right sacrifice back where we started.
Your smallest pet.
No, you just let them be. They're actually quite pretty.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
They're not too aggressive.
Skulk.
They skulk. What a great word that is. This is a program, folks, where you can skulk us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. When last we were here, we were doing some questions from Holly Berry to finish out the Christmas cycle. The first company that manufactured Christmas tree lights was
Edison?
It was Edison. Oh, yeah, Thomas Edison's
company.
And they were clear.
Because my father talks about putting them on their tree in like 1921 or something.
Wow.
Were they big?
They were big. Yeah, they were kind of
hot.
Does anybody here remember, like, I remember as a little kid going to the Edison stores and trading in light bulbs or getting light bulbs for free.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, some of us aren't that
old. We didn't get them for free.
We did. Hmm. Remember that? Was the one on, was it Grand River and Lasser thereabouts? Or used to be the Edison store?
Well, actually, I'm remembering every time that I'm with a grandparent or a parent and I drive down to UDM, which they visit every once in a while, there is a little store that says telephone service on Livernois just across the street from the university. And that's where my parents remember as children coming to swap broken light bulbs for others.
They would swap them out for you.
Yep,
free.
I just remember those horrible painted ones, you know.
Oh,
and they got so hot, and if you had a cedar tree, it was always a fire hazard.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it says, to corroborate, Jim, the first mass production of those kind of Christmas tree lights began around 1890. So about 30 years later is what you're describing.
That's really interesting.
During World War II, the Rockefeller, New York, Christmas tree was blank.
Not lit.
Not lit, yes. Restrictions on energy usage. Aww. It's kind of sad.
But efficient.
But
it smelled pretty good, I'm sure.
I bet it smelled great.
I saw it get lit just the other night.
Mm-hmm. What was the best-selling gift? And I've got a couple hints I can give you, but what was the best-selling gift of 1980?
Tickle Me Elmo.
The Rubik's Cube.
It was a Rubik's Cube. Dan knew it off the top of his head.
I just had to say Tickle Me Elmo.
A few years after that, it was that Cabbage Patch doll.
I was going to say Cabbage Patch
So ugly. They've made a comeback.
Yeah
I know.
I saw some in the store the other day.
We have one.
It was either it was going to be Simon or what was that other?
No, they're still called Cabbage Patch Kids.
The one I saw was called something else, but it was just as ugly.
I think they're still called Cabbage Patch Kids, but now I'm going to have to go back and look. Well, we have one, and it looks exactly like one I had.
Can you explain sea monkeys to me?
Yeah, what about them?
Sea monkeys.
They're little
Shrimp, if I remember
correctly. Shrimp.
Oh, they're shrimp. Okay, thank you.
And they're not that illustration. It's not that little happy family.
They don't have not like the sea horses that you could get in the back of the comic books.
Are they edible?
I'm assuming.
They're actually meant as feed for certain fish.
More of an appetizer than a...
Don't tell her that. Don't tell her that. No, she was thinking long lines of pets.
What was the first state in the Union that declared Christmas a legal holiday in 1846?
New Jersey.
It was not.
Oh.
Massachusetts.
No, it was a southern state.
Virginia.
South Carolina.
Nope.
Georgia.
Alabama. Kendra? Louisiana.
It was Alabama.
Alabama.
Bammer.
Of course, the Fed, a.k.a. Uncle Sam, followed by declaring Christmas a federal holiday on June 26th. What year?
1847?
No. It was quite a bit after that.
1894.
Hold it, Kendra.
Kendra. Throw it out there.
Yeah, I heard like in low 1800s and the upper, like in 1900s, so I don't have a very narrow range here. And you didn't even specify if it was before or after 1920-something. Somebody said 1920-something.
I said 1920-something was off, but it's a little late.
Okay.
I said 22.
1891.
It's not 1891.
Kendra.
Oh.
Kendra.
It was 1870.
You were going to say 1891, just like I was. Face it, Dan.
Dan wants
wrong,
the...
Wrong,
he's coming
wrong.
Back for a regrade on 1872 when the answer was 1870.
Replay.
Sadly, I had a student in my office earlier this week that was peddling something that was... But I was thinking about the right answer. I just didn't write it down.
No.
I cannot help you.
Oh, no.
I was thinking about the aliens.
It was a mental reservation.
That's what I meant. That's what he said.
No, man, you were thinking about passing it,
I wrote this, but I meant the right answer.
Mm. Oh.
The best-selling Christmas gift of 2005.
iPad.
It was not.
No, the iThings didn't come out yet like that.
No. 2005?
2005.
Yeah, no, iPods were out.
iPod. Yeah.
Was not Tickle Me.
Was it?
No, that's
so PS1? It was just a lot.
No, but you're very Xbox. Close. It was Wii.
Xbox
360.
Xbox 360.
Yes. This is an interesting twist. Now, I don't know if I've ever actually seen, because you know, Rick Steves is, we were just talking about him, and he's more of a European, Asian kind of guy. Because it's usually very, very hot in Brazil on December 25th, Christmas trees are covered with something. What is it?
Glitter?
Not glitter.
Cooling blankets.
yes, but only symbolically.
What's this stuff called?
Fake snow?
Sheets?
Fake snow is correct. Oh, they put wads of cotton all over their trees to represent the snow that they're not having. Yes.
Do they ever have snow?
I'm guessing in Brazil. Well, certain parts of Brazil.
The very southern part of Brazil, I think they would, probably. In like July, maybe?
Yeah.
What Christmas carol, beloved Christmas carol, has been translated into more languages than any other
Silent
song?
Night.
Silent Night.
Because it's simple.
Absolutely. It is very simple, isn't it? Playing it on a broken guitar. I will admit,
my first time in China, when my cousins took me to a karaoke bar, they looked at my wife. Oh, it's okay. They've got English songs on here. They were all Christmas carols.
Good for them. Good for them.
I was not good at karaoke.
I tell you what, we'll break out the karaoke machine and get all riled up while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Sleigh Bell Orchestra brings us Ask the Professor. I'm your host on this Christmas program, Edwin DeWint, and today we have all of our regular panelists with us, gathered around the Christmas tree. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Sure. It's a great pleasure to be here, as always, and the top of the season to you all.
Yes. You're... All right. On his right...
George is opening all his presents.
I know it. That's his trouble.
Well, I mean, here we are.
Can't you wait?
The very day...
It's so greedy.
And we're on the radio.
I know.
You want me to have my mind focused?
Well.
I can't do that.
Visions of Sugar Plums.
Today.
That was Robert O'Neill from the Department of Psychology. And to his right, from the Department of History, looking very elfin, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Who wrote that? Oh, we're not into the
questions. No, not in the questions yet. No. And on her...
Most of the questions you hear on this program are asked by our listeners.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Hello, ho, ho, Edwin.
Oh, clever. Our first set of questions are set in from Neil Rifkin of Livonia, Michigan. Christmas-type questions.
Oh, good.
He says, I'll give you a country's name for Christmas, and you give me the country.
Okay, Sweden.
Noel.
France.
That's right. Yule.
Jule, Sweden?
No.
Norway?
No.
England?
Well, it's part of that.
Scotland?
Yes, Scotland, yes. Weihnachten?
Germany.
That's right. And
that
Navidad?
Sounds German. Spain?
That's right.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's ask it again.
I mean,
I got all
that.
That's it. That was really
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
George.
Just a little musical interlude here.
And we're back with some questions from Holly Berry. We'll have some fun talking about things having to do with Christmas. Good Christmas trivia. What was the top-selling Christmas gift of 1996?
Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo is correct.
Oh! Finally.
She was waiting for it.
The demand was so great that the retail $30 doll sold at some stores for up to $2,500.
Oh, how I know. My sister had to go to like 10 stores and get on waiting list to get one for my niece.
I don't even know what to say about
Tigger?
That.
Remember Bouncing Tigger?
Oh, yes. It was very similar to that, right?
Yeah.
Very similar.
I got Mark a bouncing Tigger.
Oh, that's Aww. Nice.
Actually, Sister Faye used to have a bouncing Tigger in her office.
Really?
When she was president, yes.
Wow. Mm.
There's a story behind that.
I'm sure that there is.
The beloved Christmas ballet show, The Nutcracker, based on the fairy tale The Nutcracker and the Mouse King, flopped when it originally premiered in what year?
1884.
A little bit later.
1891.
1892. Kendra's getting her
Wow. Kendra.
I didn't even have to wait for a lot the other guess. I didn't have the high guess.
You're doing all right.
Peter Ilyich was not real popular at that point.
Yes, apparently not, huh? The celebration of Yule, we just heard a little bit about that, occurs on what date?
I'm sorry, what?
The celebration of Yule, which is sometimes confused with being the same as Christmas, it is not.
December 6th?
Occurs on what date?
The 26th?
December
10th?
Nope.
12th?
Nope.
14th?
16th.
How about we think about the fact that it is a stalwart of what used to be called the pagan calendar?
The 21st.
Yeah, so it's the solstice.
Oh, the solstice.
Solstice.
Oh, gotcha. Of course.
We were getting there.
Those Scots, you know, they really are pagan.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. At heart.
What is I think the Jim's going to be all over this one. What is the dish of choice on Christmas Day in Paris?
Caviar.
Oh, I just figured you'd know this.
Crepe.
No.
Pate?
Is it always
duck
crepes?
Liver?
Is it? Not. It's not. It is a animal.
Is a roast?
It's an animal. It's not
goose.
A roast. Not a goose.
Rabbit.
Duck.
Rabbit.
Oh. I learned this. I have this confirmed
Ham.
By Rick Steves.
Jambon.
No, it's oysters.
Oh, that's right. I saw that on the TV show last week. Mm-hmm. Boy, they had a couple that were, they looked like they were in their 50s, but they were devouring a mountain of oysters, and those were big oysters.
Big oysters.
I love
oysters.
Do you
have to worry about the food poisoning in Paris, too, or no?
I don't know.
We usually have oysters. Yeah. We usually have oysters at Christmas.
Do you?
Yeah.
We used to have oyster stew for Christmas breakfast, and I would take a pass.
That's, just the fresh.
So my mom started buying Krispy Kreme donuts for those of us who would not
eat
them.
Krispy Kreme donuts.
That's good
oysters.
Right there.
Yes.
Way to stand your ground.
No, yes. Olivia has always loved them, even when she was very little.
I like fried oysters, but I'm not fond of oyster stew.
And green onions.
Oh, well,
I don't eat them enough, but I like them.
What was the best-selling gift of 1978?
Donny Osmond.
Pet Rock.
You notice, by the way, a trend in all these gifts. They're all toys. It's
78.
Something Star Wars.
It wasn't Star Wars. That's a good guess, though.
Because 77 was when Star Wars came out.
That's
Let's
right.
see.
Think.
78.
1978, I got.
Was it a board game?
Regular size Millennium Falcon. It was a board game.
Monopoly.
Not Monopoly.
Trivial Pursuit.
Sorry, Game of Life.
Trivial Pursuit.
It was brand new in 1978.
The Trivial Pursuit of the 80s.
Sorry.
A lot of brightly colored plastic and a lot of little white
Candyland?
Marbles.
No. Oh. Chinese checkers.
I beg your pardon?
I'm surprised.
What?
That you guys aren't getting this.
Sorry.
Oh, I would like to point
Hungry,
out,
Hungry
I
Hippos.
Was...
Hungry Hippos.
Oh,
my gosh. That was the
biggest
back then. Selling?
I don't
what?
Know.
What?
I
didn't think that came out until
I didn't think that was that good of a game. Have you guys seen the live action ones?
Yes.
In my defense, I was not here yet.
It's okay.
I wasn't even thought about it's, yet.
You were okay. probably thought about, but you were inspirational.
You were but a gleam in your father's eye.
I bet that if Professor Roy Finkenbein were with us today, he has not passed away, by the way. That was
Don't, let's not jinx it.
he would know what President Andrew Johnson did on Christmas Day, 1868.
Probably pardoned somebody.
He pardoned a lot of people.
A turkey. Oh, no, that was Thanksgiving.
1868.
He cut his
Would
hair.
Have to
go
do
from
the
Civil War.
He pardoned anybody who fought for the Confederacy.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm. Had to be done.
A good way to make peace.
Had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he tried.
It's what Lincoln wanted to do.
Yep, that's right. He did not get the chance, unfortunately. In many Latin countries, what is the food of choice on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day?
Enchiladas?
Not enchiladas.
Tamales.
Tamales. Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Probably with refried beans.
We always have tamales
Keep
the day
warm
before
somehow.
Christmas Eve. In my
we
house.
Have them at
you
Thanksgiving.
Yum, yum,
is that
yum,
a family
yum.
Tradition?
Do you get them from Evie's?
I get them from Evie's.
Yeah, we all get them
the
from
best.
Evie's.
That's a good place to go.
Oh, man. And if you don't put in an order in the first week of December, you're not going to get them. That's all I got to say.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. They make... She told me once, not Evie herself, but one of her family members, workers, that they probably go into the tens of thousands.
Yeah.
That's how many...
They're very
they make
good.
Them for a month straight.
Wow.
A month straight.
Do you like the sweet ones or do you like the meat ones?
Oh, I love the
meat.
Pork.
Meat. Pork. Pork.
The UK, oh, they make yes. the sweet ones.
Like pork buns.
Oh, see, I've never had a pork bun. What is the deal with pork buns?
Man, oh, Matt's favorite meal.
Yeah, I know. He's always talking about it. Buns. Middle of a faculty senate meeting? Pork buns.
Bring
I'm
me
kidding.
Some pork buns.
And the thing is, I've also given Matt two other choices, and they just don't match up to the one place.
They just don't. So something, I've never heard of this before, but if it's true, it's terribly interesting. So Charles Dickens writes A Christmas Carol, and it becomes very, very successful. What did he do around Christmas time the following few years?
He traveled around reading it publicly.
Collected royalties.
Not what it says here.
Did he go
collected to... He signed
He did that, but he would he read it throughout the United States.
Okay, okay.
Did he go to work on Christmas Day?
No, he did not. Although that's a nice little take on the story. Yeah. Hmm. His boss, Mr. Scrooge, said,
give him
no,
the
you know,
off.
He started writing a story every year at Christmas, and huh. none were as successful as the
oh,
original.
Aw.
You know, I was just thinking the other day how glad I am that my name was not used, because I'm sure Scrooge, as a surname, was just a normal, probably lower class English name at mm-hmm. the time. And now it means something entirely different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm glad it wasn't Tubbs that he decided to use for Ebenezer's last name.
It reminds me.
Ebenezer Tubbs.
It reminds good. Me of the fact that when Hawthorne? No, I'm getting it wrong. Washington Irving wrote Legend of Sleepy Hollow, that there was a very, very famous War of 1812 general, Ichabod Crane was his name, and his life was ruined mm-hmm. by that story, just ruined by it. He's like, I'm sorry, I just needed a cool-sounding name, and yours was the one I read in the newspaper.
And it came to mean it became a metaphor instead of a name
exactly.
after that.
Aww, More blank are purchased at Christmas time, 31% of the sales for the entire calendar year than during any other
Fruit
holiday
cakes.
Or occasion.
Fruit
no.
Fruitcakes are
31% at Christmas time.
Cookies? Plungers.
Got into an argument with my dental hygienist a couple weeks ago because this
Candy
person
canes.
Was advocating me purchasing this over the holidays for my wife.
Oh, that's not plungers.
No. And I said that the problem with chemistry, the way we understand it, is that it's extremely difficult to be able to find out whether the human beings had to pass away to bring that to your possession.
What?
Caskets?
What, Matt?
Caskets?
Caskets.
I don't know.
What in the world are you trying to get at?
Unfortunately, recent chemical studies have shown that over 90% of the diamonds in the world have been brought to you through passing
blood
away
diamonds.
Of
oh,
human
well.
Beings.
Blood diamonds.
Blood diamonds.
Through the passing away of humans. Oh, okay.
People
in their origin.
Yes.
Not carbon. Because the owners
no.
of them.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Ooh. But so that's 30%. Well, yeah, Zales and Jared and all that came really absolutely. Advertised big time
well,
at Christmas. Oh, why give a Christmas gift when you could give a diamond?
No, it's not just that. It's also the season of engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is true.
And
that
okay, now true. When did all of a sudden this blood diamond, the chocolate diamond, all these other marketing scams come
oh,
into
man,
play?
The chocolate diamond. That's one of the biggest scams.
The canary diamond.
Ever.
It's also
the most impure gems on the
exactly.
market.
Well, I think the black diamonds are the worst because they don't really look like anything.
Yeah, give me the dirty diamond.
They look like a piece of coal.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Absolutely true. Very well cut coal, yeah. you know.
Very well
nicely
cut.
Yeah.
Expensive.
Hard coal.
What was the name of the gentleman who brought the very, very famous Christmastime plant from Mexico to the United States.
Poinsett. Colonel Poinsett.
Yes, in 1829. Not a true flower. I was thinking about...
Those are red leaves on
that. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. When you were to bring up your tulips, Heather, because my mom has a poinsettia that she has cultivated in a pot from last Christmas.
You can do that.
And it's changing. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Still alive?
Yeah, still alive.
They grow new leaves that are green.
You can do that with geraniums,
pretty
too.
Funny.
You put them down.
They have to be forced in a hothouse for the leaves to turn red.
I tell you what I'm going to do. In honor of Heather, I'm going to buy 700 poinsettias.
You heard it
and
here.
And put them around her yard? Or all on the front porch so she can't get out of the house.
Well, it's either that or Dan's got to induce fox urine out of all the critters. I mean, it's one of the...
Coyote.
Sprinkle them with coyote urine so they won't get eaten.
Oh, my word. To keep up with demand annually, for every one Christmas tree that's live and gets cut down... How many need to be planted?
250.
No, five.
No, it's three. It's three need to be planted.
That's it?
Yeah, well, I think we need to plant more because we need to clean out more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
True that.
With the rainforest depleting, we need a lot more green plants being planted.
Mm-hmm. In Norway, on Christmas Eve, Families usually enjoy a big dinner, the opening of presents, and then something that are found throughout the house are hidden during the night.
Eggs.
Because ancient Norwegians believed that witches and mischievous spirits came out on Christmas Eve and would steal their...
Shoes.
No.
Pickles.
Underwear.
Steal their pickles. See them walking out with a jar of plastic.
Wait a minute.
Steal their...
Have to hide their blank.
Because they're worried that the witches...
That the witches are going to steal them.
Are going to steal their... not presents.
Toys,
not presents.
Brooms?
Their Crocs.
No, it's their brooms.
Oh.
It's
their brooms. Their brooms.
Yeah. You can have it. I value so my pickles.
Are these
more
witches'
than
homes that we're talking about, or just regular people?
I mean, just in general, the ancient Norwegians thought that it was sort of, well, I mean, it fits with
that
the
witches wanted to ride their brooms away.
With the solar calendar. Yeah, I mean, solstice brings all sorts of
things. You need to hide those brooms
happening.
So the britches, the witches would not use them for transportation.
Mistletoe, the traditional Christmas symbol,
is poison.
Terrible poison. Once revered by early Britons, was so sacred to those Britons, it had to be cut with what?
A sword.
Silver,
not a sword.
Sickle or something?
Silver
like that?
Knife.
Very close. No, it had to be gold.
A gold.
They're not screwing around, let me tell you.
Down south, people shoot it out of the tree. I'm serious. With a shotgun.
I cannot imagine a better way to say goodbye to 2015 than that comment. So let's all say toodaloo, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year, Professor Dan Maggio.
Buon Natale.
Professor Jim
Happy
Thomas.
Christmas to all.
Professor Dave Chow.
See ya.
Professor Kendra Evans.
Merry Christmas.
Professor Heather Hill-Vasquez.
Feliz Navidad.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor today is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.